Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. It has been about 2 weeks since we last spoke. You were back in Germany at that point. I know recently you cycled to Denmark thereafter. So any observations you can share with us from your last trip?
Oh, it'll be my pleasure then, of course. Well, Denmark is beautiful, amazing, especially in summer. The most important thing about Denmark is really the light. It's really the light. In summer, you get those amazing midsummer days. And then in winter, you get the polar lights. Both very clearly rank top on my recommendation list for any travelers to Europe. And meanwhile, Denmark is one of Europe's most competitive, one of its most innovative, livable, and economically successful countries. And yet, with only 6 million people like Switzerland, it's a small country, and it's dependent on a few big companies like Novo Nordisk, which you see all over the country. And while Novo Nordisk a year ago was actually Europe's biggest company by market cap, its valuation is more than halved this year, down from 600 to now a little less than $300 billion. The company is still a global leader in diabetes and obesity treatments like Eli Lilly's and others. But, its earnings outlook's been under pressure, not least due to copycats, cheaper competitors, tariffs, and other cost issues, some idiosyncratic, I understand. And in speaking to Danes, as I did, this is a big, almost national concern, because when Europe's, and of course Denmark's, biggest company halves, look, that's affecting everyone's nest egg savings. And the bigger story behind this one really relates to tariffs and the global trade and other pressures on healthcare and the pharma market.
So let's look into these matters a bit further, Burkhard, the healthcare market and tariffs for a few more moments. For one, it seems that healthcare is under pressure in many places. The S&P Healthcare Index is the worst performing S&P sector index this year. Meanwhile, most tariff negotiations are said to be nearing their conclusions. So far, they have not created much pushback from markets, inflation, or other countries. So what do you think, Burkhard, are the key developments that investors should be monitoring at this point?
Well, a couple of points to make. You know, with the U.S. earnings seasons nearly behind us, what we're hearing from most companies is that they're managing to push back or pass on to customers the rising import prices. So let's hope it stays that way. At least it's a good signal for the next one or two quarters. And more importantly, productivity increases really still play a pivotal role in overcoming the tariff taxes. The S&P 500 forward EPS is now at about $301. That's another all-time high. Let's be very clear about this. And the biggest lever behind this is corporate productivity. And importantly, we do expect firmly that productivity gain can and will continue and even broaden to other sectors in years to come. Also, because the trade war urges companies to stay laser focused on overcoming higher tariffs through higher productivity. What else do you want to do? That's a key pillar to our Roaring 20 scenario and our positive view for the long-term market outlook. And then, of course, there are, as you rightly point out, the woes of the healthcare industry, not only in Denmark, but really around the world. And while the demographics of aging, longevity, and new epidemics make it a big growth opportunity, it's not always easy to translate that into short-term gains. As, at least according to the World Health Organization, the global obesity epidemic could soon surpass 1 billion people. It's equally understandable that all societies seek to lower the costs of the necessary drugs and treatments. And that's why the healthcare sector offers both promise and peril to its companies and investors. And when President Trump mentions pharma tariffs potentially rising to 150 or even 250%, that clearly doesn't help. But to be fair, investors should also note some positives. For one, valuations of the S&P healthcare sector are now historically low, with a PE of around 16.5, and an outsized part of it, WHOs are really related to its biggest company, without which the sector performance actually looks much healthier.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for that insight. I want to move over to another big story from last week. We did see the labor market report come out last Friday, which led to the dismissal of the head of the BLS, that being the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And also last Friday, Fed Governor Adrian Kugler resigned, this allowing President Trump to more quickly appoint someone new to the board. So maybe we can wrap up our conversation today, Burkhard, with a few thoughts on those two developments.
Well, sure. Let's start with the BLS labor market report. The reality, in my view, is that it wasn't nearly as bad as widely reported. For one, you know, given the record levels of uncertainty, remember, this was May, June, right after Liberation Day. It can be no surprise to anybody that companies paused their new hiring in these 2 months of May and June. More importantly, the fact that new jobs will continue to grow at a slower pace than in the past has a very simple explanation. It's demographics. It's the demographic labor shortage. When there are fewer workers to hire than in the past, companies will create fewer jobs than they did in the past. There's nothing surprising about this, but there's also nothing wrong with this, because when there are fewer workers looking for new jobs, then the labor market meanwhile remains well-balanced, as Jerome Powell, by the way, also pointed out very rightly. In fact, and that was also part and parcel of that BLS report, payroll employment rose to a new record high of 160 million in July, despite the much-talked-about BLS revision for the month of May and June. Aggregate hours worked, which is payroll employment, times the average work week, also rose solidly by 0.4% month on month to a new record high. Oh, and real personal incomes also rose to new all-time highs in the month of July. They're actually up 0.7% month on month, while the net worth of the baby boomers remains at a record high. So consumers and workers are still doing okay, at least according to markets and the data. So, the BLS report wasn't nearly as terrible as the media had it. And what about the Fed? Look, in our view, it's the bond market, not the Fed, which really matters most for the investment outlook. And as I said before, we still expect U.S. bond yields to decline as our roaring 20 scenario keeps inflation in check, as it has and we think will continue to do, and as bonds have done in recent days. And also, as the gravitational pull from other global bond markets like Europe, Japan, and what have you, pulls long U.S. yields lower for longer, and that's a good thing for both bonds and stocks, the way I look at it.
Well, Burkhard, that was very helpful clarity. So, as always, do appreciate you sharing with our listeners your views. And earlier, great to hear some takeaways from your cycling trip in Denmark. That sounded amazing. So, with that, Burkhard, wishing you a good rest of the week. And do, as always, look forward to our next conversation.
Same here, Dan. Thanks for having me and wishing you the very best for the rest of the day and the week. Take care and speak again soon. Bye now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.